He sees you as a son whom he will discipline. He certainly, if you test him, if you put yourself into folly, is going to bring that folly to bear on you, but it's not to punish you. It's not just strictly about the enactment of vengeance. It is in order to discipline you, to bring you back into the way, because you're in the way, that is, you're on the road, that is, you're walking in Christ, because he has chosen to do this for you and to you. And having begun such a good work in you, he is also the one who's going to bring it to completion. Since God is for you, who could be against you? And I preach this. You've heard me preach this. There's no question this is our dogma. The question is then, when you go back out of the dogma world and into the real life and you find that there's something dangerous or threatening to your life and you begin to question whether or not God is really for you. You begin to think that, well, again, as I said a moment ago, harbor a deep understanding or a deep assumption that God's up there just waiting to punish you. Now again, so then as I've been wrestling with that and the doctrine of election, because Romans 9 and 10, you can listen to the Save podcast and get all of that. Here's what showed up then in the lectionary this morning. It says, the desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is one who scatters yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Now, the last two verses there connect to what we talked about last week a little bit with regard to giving and natural law. So they're not disconnected, though, from the first part. So the desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. So everything I just shared about this harbored internal expectation that God is just waiting to punish me, that he's going to pull the carpet out from underneath my feet, that when I'm not ready for it, I'm going to make a mistake, and then that mistake is going to lead to my own spiritual destruction. That's the expectation of the wicked. Now, I could read that and say, therefore, God has declared that I am wicked and an unbeliever, and it's in fact what's going to happen, but that's not how I see this. No. No, what I'm seeing is that is my flesh. This is normative. This is normal for human flesh inherited from Adam, for all of us born in sin, yeah, that we would have this kind of fearful view of God, which isn't the holy fear, the filial fear that sees him as almighty and just loves to serve him, but this is sort of the hard man taskmaster fear. That is what the wicked must expect. They expect punishment. Right? But the desire of the righteous, I know that because Jesus has declared it to be so, that I am righteous in his sight, not because of anything I have done, not by works, lest I boast, but because of the gift, because of the promise, because of the covenant of grace, because he wants to be merciful, right? Because of that, I know my desire is only good. Now, you can run this through that Christ is the first righteous one who only desires good, and that's why when he looks at you, he desires to forgive you. But then I also know that the Spirit intercedes with words too deep for groaning, that the Spirit knows the heart both of me and of the Father, and as a result, he works in me an ultimate desire for what is good and right. So even if I do, and when I do, mess up, it is all going to be turned back for good. There is no height or depth, no darkness or light, no twist or turn capable of separating me from the will of God to elect me unto salvation in Jesus Christ. And so the expectation of my flesh might be wrath, but my flesh is just wrong.